Okay, thank you. First of all, actually, I have to explain it. I'm going to speak about the quantum mechanics part and actually about the electrostatic part. Zev Wagner will speak on Thursday. So that's how we divide. And here are the people that are involved in this work. They are graduate students and postdocs. And Zev, with whom I collaborate very intensively, and Emitzan helped us with the theory. And some of the imaging work that I will show were done in Crete. Okay, so what I'm going to speak about. First of all, I want to define what I mean by electron transfer and to distinguish it from electron transmission and to distinguish it from electron transfer, because electron transfer is a well-established field in chemistry and physics. And usually what we speak about electron transfer, we have a donor, we have an acceptor, there is a bridge, and the electron transferred, and what is important to keep in mind, the electron has always positive energy. So namely, the electron is bound all through this process. And in this case, the theory is well established, and people really know how to deal with it. What I'm going to discuss, it's a different situation where we speak about electron transmission. So what happened here, specifically, we have a substrate, metal or semiconductor. I will discuss today only results on metal. And we come with a photon, we excite electron above the vacuum level, and now the electron has negative binding energy, so it's free electron, and this electron is going through the barrier formed by the molecular layer into the vacuum. And we are now able to measure its angular distribution and kinetic energy. So in this case, actually, the theory is very poor. And there are no good potential energy surfaces to describe the electron-molecule interactions. And all this process is still in its infancy in terms of theory. Okay, why we are going to do it? The real question we try to attack here is how this weak interaction, what's supposed to be weak interaction between molecules on the surface, when they are organized as close-packed layer. Is this weak interaction creating new properties, specific new electronic properties to the layer? So what I'm going to concentrate today are the electronic properties of these organic layers and how they are affected by the fact that we have a real self-assembled, organized layer. So, as you may imagine, this subject is relevant to this big issue called today molecular electronics and perhaps to some electronic properties of membranes. So the experiment is concept very simple. We have a substrate, gold, typically grounded. On top of it, we put organized organic thin films. The thin films, since most of you are not experts on organized organic layers, they can be made by two methods in principle, either by self-assembling, so because of the chemical driving force, the system assembled itself spontaneously so that one side of the molecule is bound to the surface chemically, the other side is pointing towards the vacuum, and we have a close-packed layers. This process is driven purely by this adsorption process to the surface. Another method to prepare these layers is by the Langer-Bergeret method, in which we actually force the molecule to assemble on water. We put molecules that typically have one polar head and the other head is apolar. We press it on water. As a result of this pressure, the molecule assembled themselves so that the polar heads pointing towards the surface, the apolar head is outside. And now we can transfer this already organized layer to a substrate. And we have to be careful, of course, in this transfer process that we don't destroy the organization. So really an important issue here, and it's not going to come up in my talk, but it's important to appreciate, especially for since the people that did this work put so much effort into it, analyzing and characterizing the monolayer, it's a key issue here. And we put a lot of effort in doing it using many, many methods, and that's a big part of the work. Okay, so we have this type of organized layer on top of the surface, and now we come with a laser. We are using pulse laser, and we try to use typically photon energy in such a way that the photon energy is below the ionization potential of the molecule, so we don't ionize the molecule, but it is above the work function of the metal. So we can eject the electrons from the metal and not from the films. There are cases that we are using different techniques and so on. I will discuss it on the way. We try in most cases also to use photons that are not absorbed by the layer. So we, in principle, we try to reach a situation where the system is, the layer is completely inert to the photons, and the only interaction we have is with the photon with the substrate, so we know that the electrons are coming from the substrate. Now the electrons are transmitted through the layer into the vacuum, ultra-vacuum chamber, and now we can analyze the energy distribution. The question is what one would expect before, a priori, before going to do this type of experiment, what one would expect. And actually, if you read books or papers about this subject from 15 years ago, what you get is a single number, typically, which is the penetration depth of an electron into a dielectric layer. And what it tells you, that what we expect is a classical process in which we have an electron, we view the electron as a particle actually scattered from this, from the nuclei, from the electrons from the nuclei, and we get scattering process, classical scattering process, which result, if we start, let's say, with this type of distribution, of electron energy distribution, we expect to get, after long enough path, distribution that looks like this. Namely, complete collapse of the electron energy distribution. It's not a mistake. The integral under this curve is smaller than here because here we get a lot of back reflection. So we, in our process, we measure only electrons that are scattered in the 2 pi sphere forward. So, of course, the integral here is smaller than here. Okay, so that's what people actually expected to see in the past, and most experiments were not sensitive actually to the electron energy distribution and didn't probe it. Okay, what we saw in experiment, among the first experiments we did, that's what we observed. We prepared the film. It doesn't tell you much, but this is basically our chains of 18 carbon, saturated hydrocarbon chain with acid group underneath, so it can, we can assemble it as a Langevin-Blodgett film, and we make one layer of the film, 3 layers or 5 layers, and when we look on the energy distribution, this line is only to guide your eyes, what you see, something which is very different from what I just described, what we see, a hole is created in the electron energy distribution at the low energy part. However, there are energies at which the transmission looks as if it is ballistic. No interaction. However, if we go for 13 layers, it's more than 200 angstrom. It's really quite a thick layer. Then you start to see something different. You start to see that something starts to fill the hole. So this is an indication for non-elastic processes that start to be significant if we go to 200 angstrom. But at 5 layers, for example, and you will see also at 9 layers, the non-elastic scattering is not significant. And what we see a deep well here, and it seems like we get a transmission which is basically unaffected by the existence of the layer. Yeah.
This is a logarithmic scale?
No, no. This is a linear scale.
You showed an exponential decrease in the previous slide, didn't you?
Yeah.
So what is this straight line?
No, it's only to guide your eye regarding the work, okay. The work function.
No comparison.
No comparison.
No, and for some reason, it is not monotonic. you have the hole for five layers, but not for the others.
Ah, why we have one, three, and five? Yeah. Okay, that's it's a technical issue. How you transfer the film from the trough, Langmuir-Bolger trough, onto the slide by digging it in and out, you always put on two layers. So we can have only an odd number of layers in this case.
But now why is there a hole specifically large at five and not at one and three?
Again?
Why is the hole deep at five and not at one and three?
Ah, it get deeper? We'll discuss it. It gets deeper with the number of layers. And in a moment we'll discuss why. Yeah? Inelastic. In the case of the 13 layer, yeah. I said you start to see the hole in the distribution start to be filled by electrons, and this must be inelastic scattering that takes electrons from relatively high energy, and you end up with electron at low energy. Yeah.
How about the efficiency? How many electrons do you have per photon atom?
Okay, it's impossible to give a general answer here. It depends, of course, on the photon energy and on the work function of the surface. So the efficiency of the electron emission depends on the relation between the photon energy and the surface work function and on the barrier of this layer formed. So I can't give you absolute number that is general for everything. For each system, you get different efficiency. Typically, in the case we have, we get usually about a fraction of electron per photon.
Absorbed
photon on the surface. Okay, but now let's go one step forward. Now I show you case of nine layers. In the case of nine layers, you see the distribution again showing the hole here. And now, then we can do the following experiment. We can warm up the surface and let the odor in the film being destroyed. But then we cool it back. So the experiment is done at room temperature in both cases. But now we lost the odor in the film. And we can monitor the fact that we lost the odor by infrared spectroscopy. So we know that we lost the order, but we didn't lose material. And if we do it, we get something which is the classical picture we actually expected a priori. So that tells us that the order plays an important role in controlling the transmission here. And the question, what's going on, and what we, in order to confirm that what we see is what we think we see, we together with people in the Max Born Institute in Berlin, we used the BESI, the synchrotron, and we went, I apologize for the quality of this slide, but we went to higher energies, and when you go to higher photon energy, and we did some trick to get the transmission efficiency as function of energy, what we get is oscillatory behavior, which now it's becoming obvious that it's a signature of a band structure. So what is surprising here? What is surprising here that while in solids, we know that we do spectroscopy, we see band structure, we inject an additional electron, it doesn't affect the band, that's what we all use. In our case, if you do the spectroscopy of the layer, you have no evidence for band structure. The band structure is caused by the injection of the extra electron into the system. So it's a picture that really reflects a mesoscopic behavior where addition of electron really change the electronic structure of the system. More like in molecules, chemists are used to it, that the electronic state of a negative ion are very different from the neutral, and you can't simply inject an electron into a molecule, expect the electronic structure to remain the same. Here we are closer to this limit where ejecting an extra electron into the system actually creates the band structure, enhance interaction between the units, and increase the band structure. So now if we think what we see in our picture, we have the following picture. The, we come with photons, we eject it, and actually the electron transmission we see, the low energy cutoff, it's indicative to the band edge, and the high energy cutoff indicates the work function. So it's important, if we want to look on the band gap in the system, we have to look for the low energy cutoff. And by the way, calculation confirmed that for this saturated hydrocarbon, there is a band, such a band, and it's about 0.8 electron volt. The band edge is about 0.8 electron volt above the vacuum level, very much like what we see. Now, the question is, we got some indication that the order, yeah. Yeah, the way to look on it, that you have actually a resonance state of the electron inside, it's the negative ion state, actually. That's how we also do the calculation. When you eject an electron, you form the negative ion state. So the band is the band of the negative system, negatively charged system. And this, you can think about it as a resonance, definitely. It's a global resonance. I'm going to discuss it in a second.
Does it resonate the direction where the electron is going? And what about the interaction between electrons to each other, lateral?
Okay, we don't have experiment on the effect of electron-electron interaction. I mean, the additional electron interaction between systems. That's, we don't have any... That's a very low electron density, exactly. You have to realize here that the electrons are really big here. I mean, in the direction forwards, the energy is, let's say, less than 1 eV. So they are longer than 12, the wavelength is longer than 12 angstrom. And actually, in parallel to the surface, the velocity is much lower. So we get almost a plane wave penetrating through the system. Yeah, please. Okay, that's a matter of semantic. You know, if you call, how you call a resonance, if you prefer to describe the resonance as electron bouncing back and forth, or a state, electronic state, that your electron stays in this state for a while, you know, it's a matter of description. Yeah, I'm saying that if you want to describe these resonances, as you describe it, it's actually the negative ion resonances. And we will go through it, and I hope we will see some examples, so I hope it will be clear. Okay, what I want to show you here is the importance of the order in this layer. And the way what we did, we made films, two type of films, one in which we have saturated hydrocarbon. In the other one, we have basically the same chain, but with one double bond. And you see here the spectrum for the saturated, and this is the spectrum for the non-saturated, and here one layer and five layers. And what is interesting, now we can make a mixture, one-to-one mixture. And as you see clearly, this is the mixture. The transmission through the mixture doesn't resemble the transmission through any of one of the layers. So we really destroy the transmission by having this effect. And actually, we can go even better and dope the layer, one layer with the other molecule. So we can make we have a layer of saturated hydrocarbon, and now we dope the layer with molecules that have double bonds. And you see quite dramatically that at 5%, the transmission is already decreased. Actually, by itself, how the doping affects it, and from this we get a coherent length of the electron, that's an interesting story. Now I want to take this idea of band structure, I think, to its limit almost, and I want to describe you a system that looks very complicated. What we have here, that was work that was done together with organic group at the Weizmann Institute, Meir Lav and his group, and they know how to prepare in hybrid structures that include organic molecules and nanoparticles. And in a, it's a very well actually characterized structure, both by synchrotron radiation X-ray and so on. So we know really well what's going on here. And you see we have, what I want to concentrate now on four type of films. One that includes large particles only, six layers in this case. One that includes small particles only. But then we have two other ones. Here you have small particles, on top of them you have the large one, and here it's the reverse, okay? And let's look now what happened if we look on the electron transmission through them. In the case of the large particles, this is the spectrum we get. Small particles, this is the spectrum we get. Actually, this can be sort of rationalized by the fact that in the small particles, we expect a larger band gap. So if you remember, I told you that on this side, we are measuring actually the band gap, you get a wider band gap. But look what happened now when we put the small on top of the large, we get this spectrum. However, if we put the large on top of the small, we got this one. And that's interesting for two reasons. One, you see that the spectra are not simply superposition of the spectra of each one of the components. That's one thing. Another interesting issue is the fact that they are not symmetric. And it seems, if you look here, it seems like the layer that is closer to the substrate is more dominant in defining the band gap than the other layers. So if you we can treat this behavior by actually assuming, taking the same model that's applied in alloys of semiconductors, where you get a band gap, which is basically the weighted band gap according to the concentration of the different component. And actually here we did different mixtures of different films, and we get the same result, that the band gap we get is a sort of weighted average, but it's slightly distorted weighted average, because always the layer underneath is more effective. And we believe that this is a result of the interaction of the particles with the metal structure. And you can easily see how it comes. The particles, when they are charged, there is an additional interaction due to the image charge with the surface that shifts the state and creates, if you like, increase the density of state. And since the weighted average, actually what has to go into it is the density of state and not simply the density of the system, we get higher density of state for the system which is close to the surface, and therefore the shift is always slightly, the weighted average is always slightly distorted towards the system that is close to the surface. So this is really an extreme case where you have really a sort of complicated system, organic molecule, nanoparticle, but still the band structure works. And it works in a surprising good way, despite the fact that I think most of us would not predict that this would happen. And so here is the summarize of what we observed, and I mentioned it already. Okay. Now we go farther, and we did the following. We self-assembled on the surface molecules, and we self-assemble, meaning that these molecules are really bound to the surface. You see here the sulfur groups, and they bind very well to the gold. It's well documented. And these molecules make a very nice layer. And for the convention now, let's realize here we have a benzene ring, we have a naphthalene ring, and here we have an anthracene type system. And here we have what we call the asymmetric system. So what we see now in the electron transmission is something more interesting even from what we saw before, because now we start to get structure. And only to guide your eyes, actually we have seen a broad structure and high resolution structure. The broad structure are there are two bands, one here and one here. And on the low energy band, we get an additional structure. I tell you already, it's a vibrational structure on this band. And you see that the frequencies are slightly different for the Benson ring, the naphthalene, and for the anthracene. So, but now we can put the asymmetric molecule there. The molecule that doesn't have two benzene, but it has one benzene and one alkyl chain, and then it's, we complete, almost completely lose the structure. So we believe that this is an indication that the structure results from the fact that we create relatively long-range order in the aromatic system. So if you like, we have a system that's order. Another interesting effect is the frequencies that we measure for the vibrational frequencies. They fit extremely well to the vibrational frequencies observed for benzene, naphthalene, and anthracene in the gas phase. You know, people scattered electron. It's work done by Ken Jordan from Pittsburgh. They scattered electron from benzene, naphthalene, and anthracene gas phase, and they measured the resonances, and they observed what they observed, our results are fitting extremely well. So it means that the resonance we see relate again to this aromatic ring, also in support to this picture that all the action we see here is a result of this overlap in the aromatic system. So now let's try to summarize what the observations are. We have definitely resonances, vibrational resonances that are observed that relate to the vibrational frequency. However, I showed you the two broad bands. And if you see here in our case, all these bands for all the systems are falling at about the same energy. While we see deviation in the vibrational energy, actually in this electronic structure, we see almost no change in the frequency. And that's very different from the gas phase, because in the gas phase, despite the fact that they get the vibrational frequency as we get, they get very different electronic energies. So the question, how can we explain it? And basically we use a model which is, for most of you, is very familiar, because it's basically a quantum well model. So we believe that we have an extra resonance due to the overlap of the aromatic rings here. And then we can use basically large polaron type of interaction to calculate the energies above the well. Because you remember, in our transmission experiment, we have negative energies. So we are not sensitive to these energies, we are sensitive to these energies. And now, because of in the aromatic system, there is an interesting transition, or if you like, compensation between the long length of the molecule, which contribute to the localization energy, and the polarization of the molecule that contribute to the depth of the well. We can go through all this calculation, and what we find that according to this model, we get really the vibration. Here is no fitting parameters, all length, polarizability, everything is taken from handbook, no playing around, and we get very nicely the electronic energy that fits our result.
Are these energies above?
Above the vacuum.
Above zero.
Above zero, exactly.
This is the kinetic energy of the electron.
Exactly.
Can you also say something about the width of these states? Because if you're high above, you should be very broad.
They are very broad. As you see, they are.
Does this agree with what you calculated?
Okay, we didn't. Okay, in calculating the that's really tough for us to calculate the line widths. So I don't. Exactly, they could smear out. But the fact, definitely, these electronic structures are very broad. They are about 200. The full widths is about 200 millivolt. So they are very broad, indicating short lifetime. But so that's consistent, but I don't have any quantitative estimation.
What is really important if it is really flat, and how flat is it?
If the, okay, actually, let me translate what you ask into the what we can measure. The really important issue: how big are the domains? Because the roughness really affects the domains. So you expect, in order to be able to see, you need domains that are much larger than the electron wavelength. And we are lucky here because we are able to measure domains using STM, because we find that at the boundaries of the domain, the tunneling of electrons through the system is different. So we get really the grain structure of the system. And typically domains here are about 100 nanometer. So they are really big relative to the molecular size. So what I want to summarize all this issue of bent and transmission, and it's related to your question about resonances, that actually we can define three type of resonances in the system. And I prefer this picture now. There is one, what we call global resonance. It's a case that actually the film as a whole show this bend structure properties. But then we can have region in the film where we get an extra resonances due to this quantum well, for example, and then we have this type of resonance. In addition, the third type of resonance are resonance that we are not able to see. They are really the traps here. Because in this case, the electrons are captured in the trap. Due to the localization of the electron, we get a very strong electron phonon coupling, and we lose the electrons. So we, in our experiment method, there are the other methods that are able to see this type of traps. In our experiment method, the only indication we have for this trap is the loss of efficiency in the electron transmission. And eventually, if you have enough of this, you lose this transmission picture that we get. So the nice thing here, that these two type of resonances are, the electrons are delocalized, therefore the electron phonon coupling is weak, therefore we don't have a problem of a strong inelastic scattering. Another interesting point, and I will take it from here. You see, here in these two cases, one do expect to see a K-dependence transmission, because we expect, because of this resonance being delocalized, we do expect to get some angular dependence on the transmission here. While in this case, of course, there is no K-dependence because things are localized. So in order to see what it means, we went to study electron transmission, the angular dependence of the electron transmission. And we applied two experimental methods. As you see, I'm trying to be brief here on the experimental part, because I assume most of you are not interested in it. If you want, you can approach me. I will tell you more. I try to give you more the concept. So the two experimental methods we use are the following. Either we have a multi-channel array or multi-channel array, so we get angular distribution, or we do imaging experiment together with people in Greek. Now, we have one nice advantage in this experiment, that what we found, that actually the initial electron emission, photoelectron emission from the gold surface depends strongly on the incident angle of the laser to the surface. It is expected based on some simple theory, but it's still surprising it works so well, and actually there is no full quantitative understanding of it at all. There were a few groups that tried to deal with it, but it was not solved. But here you see an example. If we come close to the normal, we get a very narrow distribution. If we go close to grazing angle, we get very broad distribution, slightly shifted, not symmetric, depends from which side the laser hits. So it's really interesting conservation of momentum here. It really works well. So, but what it gives us a very nice tool, because we can change now the initial electron distribution and see how the system transmits for different electron direction. So this is one of the experimental setup we use. And you see here the signals are not normalized, and this is the error bar here. So you see what happened. We have a gold, we get a broad distribution. However, when we have the film, we get much sharper distribution that peaks along the chain direction. And also with the other method, here it's the imaging method, and you see it very clearly. Here we have two layers, here we have four layers, and you see what happened. We feel more and more. Red is high intensity, and yellow is less. And this is simply the set detector, and this is the angle. Okay? So what you see, this is the normal. Here it's a normal angle. In a second, I make it. That's the picture only, was shown only to make it nice, but here you see a better picture. So you see clearly what happened. As we have more and more layers, we define better the direction of the electron. And basically what we showed already, that when you make several layers, you define better the band structure. So we have a clear, and that's the question that somebody asked, why, you asked, I think, why you get the structure much nicer, actually, for longer, larger number of layers. And the reason is that actually you have to remember everything is done at room temperature. There is a lot of disorder. And as you make the layer thicker and thicker up to a limit, you make it more crystalline-like. Actually, you see it also in X-ray. And therefore, you define better the band structure. So clearly, what we see here.
The band structure for the perpendicular direction.
Yeah. And so clearly, what we see is the transmission is preferred along the chain, and and there is a channeling effect where electrons are actually channeled. It's known in crystals, but here it's nice in such a soft matter, you see it, that the electrons are channeled in between. Now, I think I basically told you everything I wanted about the band structure. So the conclusion we reached from all what we did so far is, despite the fact that a priori it's not obvious that one would expect for such a thin layer to have a band structure, everything we see can be explained beautifully by the band structure picture. So basically the quantum mechanical picture. What?
When you say it's a band, it means that effectively you have a continuum in some region. What would happen if the levels would be discrete and not a continuum?
Okay, let me translate it again to different language. The question is, what for me, the band structure is important because it allows me to describe the electronic state as a delocalized state in the system. And the real, if you mean that it's... Right. So I need this delocalization. Without having this delocalization, I can't explain my results. So now, if you mean that you have discrete state in the sense that they are localized, it doesn't fit at all. Okay. So now,
because presumably your spectrum is discrete because it's a finite system. The question, but what I guess what happens is because in some way it's smeared. So
okay. Discrete here, one has to be careful because if you don't forget that the electron has a relatively short lifetime. So even if you have in some sort of zero-order picture, discrete state, because of the broadening due to the lifetime, short lifetime, they are actually overlapping.
They are not discrete because these are the continuum states. You are above the...
That's exactly what I meant, that the lifetime is short. You couple this discrete state to a continuum.
So actually, in scattering language, there would be resonances.
Yes.
Right.
And
they're exactly resonances,
and,
yeah?
And then is the statement that because you have, because if it would be a solid, if it would be, I guess it would be, an infinite, what would happen if there would be an infinite system, there would be bands, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And now, this is a very thick system, yes. So you have resonances that are, that the distance between the resonances is smaller than the orbital.
Right.
Is this the statement?
Yes. Right.
Okay.
Right. So, yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so what I described so far, it's actually assuming that the interaction between the molecule is extremely weak, and all the action actually occur because we have an extra electron in the system. In many of the system, this assumption is not correct. And actually, the molecules we put are molecules that have dipole moment. And you can easily show that if you have a dipole moment, which is not very large, actually it's above 0.6 debye per normal molecule, like molecules, normal molecule, I mean molecules that occupies about 20 angstrom square on the surface and has a length of about 20 angstrom, then we get into new regime and new interesting story, and that's will be, I hope Zev will tell you about it on Thursday, and we'll show you some of the interesting results we get if with this type of system. So to conclude, the electron transmission through organized films depends strongly on the organization and on the fact that we are able to build layer on top of layer which are organized, and actually having more layer enhance the organization. There is an issue that I didn't discuss here of temperature dependence. We have a full study, it was published, about the temperature dependent, really interesting, can be explained completely quantitatively based on the temperature, vibrational frequencies and so on. It's quite surprising that the electron transmission can be very efficient over a distance of up to 10 nanometer, shows strong energy dependent and oscillatory behavior as function of energy, which is a typical to what we'd expect in a band structure. Thank you very much.
No,
that's what I was asked about it. Actually, we work at very low laser intensities, extremely low, because another reason immediately I will mention, and therefore everything we do is under the assumption that we have a single independent electron transmission.
So, and this single independent electron is creating this band structure.
Right.
So, in this band structure, do the molecules just sort of provide some sort of dielectric background, or is the boundary condition that you require to create the band structure the intermolecule spacing?
Okay, it's not correct to assume that the molecules provide only simple dielectric, because the detailed electronic structure of the molecules affect the band structure. You see resonances that depends on the detailed structure of the molecule. So it's not simple dielectric. So you can actually, we can calculate the band structure based on pure molecular properties.
But one would not expect for saturated molecules, one would not expect resonances at these small energies. You would expect it to start maybe at...
No. Actually, it's exactly, in this case, we are, good calculation were done, and it's exactly where we get it. It's 0.8 eV. You expect to get the maximum transmission, and you get it. So that's fits exactly. Actually, it's also known for polymers, by the way, despite that they are not so well organized, you get the maximum transmission, saturated polymer, you get maximum transmission exactly at 0.8 eV. So that fits extremely well.
But now I'm confused, because you emphasize the importance of the additional electron
right.
to produce the band structure. These calculations...
No, they are done on the negative ion.
They are. Okay.
They are done on the negative ion.
Okay.
And now...
sorry, but you have one negative ion amongst many hundreds of molecules, at least.
No, that depends on the...
electron density.
That's exactly what you want. Because if you localize the electron on a single molecule, then you get a very strong electron phonon interaction that kills you.
Let's ask you to clarify. You solve the band structure of some Schrödinger equation. What's the equation?
Okay. That's what, I didn't solve it, but it was solved, right?
What's the equation?
Okay, what you do, you take a molecular, basically it's ab initio, this is done by molecular, simple quantum chemistry method. You take ab initio and you calculate the negative ion states
for individual molecule.
Yes. And then, so far it's clear, you get the state, and now you allow this, now you assume you take a single molecule, you allow it to interact with the environment. What?
You construct a band from this
exactly.
States.
Exactly.
So you're making a band from a whole lot of negatively charged.
Exactly.
So you're
making
one.
One. You have one negatively charged system that now interacts with the rest are neutrals. Exactly.
But the electron can be anywhere, and so
exactly.
You can also say you get a lot of states.
You get that's what gives you the resonances. No. You have identical, since you have identical units, think about it. You know the state for a single molecule, but molecule, by symmetry, you can transfer the state to all other molecules, right?
So this is a neutral molecule.
Yeah.
Okay.
And therefore, you get a linear combination of all the states, and therefore the wave function got...
So it's not in one molecule. It's spread over all the molecules.
Exactly. That's definitely the point.
That creates that.
Yeah. Right. Oh, of course, it's enough, as I showed, even you put some impurity in between, you can easily, you know, it looks like 5% looks like very little. But if you think in two dimension, 5% means that you destroy, within any, I think, 100 angstrom, you have a sort of a doped impurity, and therefore it destroys completely the structure. Now, another point I wanted to mention, and it's more experimental, but still it should be appreciated. You know, there is a problem of charging. And the issue is how...
You have a gold substrate.
Right.
It's going to suck up the charge. I mean,
okay, exactly. The issue is that in most of these systems that we are working, the lifetime, the amount of charge that is captured by impurities and so on is small enough so that it doesn't disturb our experiment. However, we constructed molecules specifically that have, like with zirconium atoms, ions sitting in the molecule, that are very strong electron binders. There we find that we can easily charge the system. So all these experiments were done, we are sure, under the single electron conditions where we have no interaction with other charge. No. You take an electron from the gold, you don't have to worry, it's grounded, right? So it's not charged. And now you have this additional charge in the layer that has to go through the layer, so it's scattered by the negative ion state.
And you have actually primarily an electron which is going like that.
Right.
And that has to actually gather momentum and go in the parallel.
What?
The electrons are coming out perpendicular.
They are coming with some distribution, as I showed. Depends how we eject them, depending on the laser direction. So the transmission is preferred along the chain. The electron transmission is preferred along the chain.
Okay, let's thank the speaker again.
Thank you.